Blog Talk Radio.
About to bring the power and power of my show, my show. Well, Father, Father. Well, tribes rising up. Well,
tribes. Yeah. Who it is?
House of the Redeemed Servant.
Shabba Shimmy, I was Shabba Rakata.
Hey,
come on, Lock. Yeah, Baraka Kaya, how about Shama Mashiaki, how was
Shah? Yo,
Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's cracking, huh?
Yeah, about Shimmy, how was Shah, Baraka Tha?
Yeah.
Kwame Yashirala, giving all praise to the Abanawa, how about Shama Mashiaki, how was Shah?
Shama Mashiaki, how was Shah?
Jeremiah.
Hold up.
Please say to Yah.
Got that boy Karata's out with me.
How are you? Team service.
Are you ready for the race, boys?
Let's get it.
Bring it on.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. We ain't playing, yeah, standing on these coolers, yeah. We taking games, yeah, put them in the Bible, yeah. Ezekiel 37, greatest seeding army, yeah. Come see what we about, we'll change your route, we moving out. You my battle line, and weapons of war, what you waiting here for? Come see what the hell you're facing, with D, he'll break the nation. Sounds like a little revelation, heard players come in 1 hour. Utterly burnt, we will devour, power shot, who's the power? As you can see, you ain't dealing with no monkeys. We want our money, you gon' pay us for slavery. We mad as hell, but we ain't take no apologies. You say you're sorry, just go get out that money. Reparations, boy, we want our reparations. Separation, boy, we want our separation. We want our own flag, we gonna get our own flag. But keep your damn sin, just keep all of your damn sin.
Hebrews are coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are
coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah.
100,000, 44,000. Hit down or lay down. Be about it or be without it. Cut us in or cut it out. Y'all should all on the Kwame now. We woke up, y'all so stuck in eight. We got next on this Exodus and it's a good feeling. I'm with the killer. Give me the Edomite, I'm a with the feeling. What you thought? Yeah, I wish I was thought for something. He's an awful something. You got a beat coming. Ain't no sweet loving facts. Run tell that. 144,000 whips on your back. And the slain of the Lord,
mine enemies,
they shall be me.
Not that I should reign over them, bring him hither, and slay them before me.
Their lives are worth
all nations are
less
nothing.
Than a penny. And though peace are sorted, there is no reason to drop in the vessel. Nobody's gonna miss you. The earth is in mourning, your life is the issue. A rapist and murderer, a stealer of lands, and all of these sins by the white man's
hey, man,
hands.
I'm smiling now while I'm reading about us stomping out y'all infants, the Africans and the Arabs in it. This is what is called recompense. We sentiments while we tucking in our children for their beds. I'm sorry, got a problem.
We want our own flag, we're gonna get our own flag. We want our own land, we're gonna get our own land. But we got hands, 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 we got hands.
Now, I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you.
We got next.
Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000.
The Hebrews are coming. We take this thing too serious, and you Gentiles better start running. That 144 not bluffing. You claim you wasn't responsible for those dozens of millions, but that's not optional. You stole our land and took us by billions and put us on the boat to the ceiling. I'm about to pop my top cause I'm feeling. Hope that I'm worthy enough and I'm willing. He can put the sword on my hand and I'm killing. Blackjack dealer, I'm dealing. Ain't no member yet, and I hope you remember that. But I got a vest, untouchable at Elliot Ness. We got a garment down to the foot, breastplate on the chest. With a girdle on. Try to help set the people that the Gentiles fronted on. As a matter of fact, they got a trap in the shop in the house like Home Alone.
That's right.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when I talk, talk, talk with the Hebrews. Just hold on, we going home.
Mashiach, Yahawashai, who is our Redeemer, who is our Deliverer, who is our Savior, who is our Commander, who is our General of the nation of Israel, Yahshalah.
Hebrews are coming. Coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming,
coming, coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah.
Tawada, got you. Read. And you guys, I think we kind of loud, kind of clear, because we are broadcasting. And I use my phone for microphone.
Teach out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall one remain. For the mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them.
All right, cool. So one thing I've been going over for the past couple of months, with my classes, with my shows, is we've been doing comparisons of the world's wisdom with Christ's wisdom, the world's wisdom with God's wisdom. Are you really following God's wisdom? Are you really following God? Are you really studying the scriptures to make sure you're doing right by God? Or are you still living your life by the wisdom of the world? And I pretty much anchored, use that as my anchor for at the basis of a lot of the classes I've done, whether it's coming up with the COVID virus pandemic that's going on, and how many people were, as the first stimulus checks came out, that at first there was a worry, there was a shock, there was a fear that was taking place. And I was getting phone calls from Israelites that I hadn't heard from in years about what should we do? We need to make these plans, and we need to do whatever. And one of the classes that I've started to put together and we put out, I need to get up more, is when all the plagues hit Egypt, what did the Israelites do? They gathered together in Goshen. And the more we gathered together, the more safety we had. And for those Israelites that still wanted to be Egyptians, still wanted to try and use Egyptian wisdom, wanted to use the Egyptian knowledge, Egyptian society mindset, similar to the American mindset today, that as long as you kept holding on to that, the same plagues hit the Egyptians hit those Israelites. So they submitted and gathered together with the rest of Israel in Goshen. And then once in Goshen, they were safe. Now, obviously, there's still a lot of bickering, a lot of stuff that Israelites do, that we do as siblings, as kids of the Most High. Let me read this here. I might need y'all more close. I think that's what this text is telling me, that it's hard to share the readers. So here, readers, to read loud and right now, you sound muffled. All right, someone has to reply. It says the reader's got to be loud and that even my voice sounds muffled. All right, cool. Got you, bro. So this is a recap of some of my class that I've been trying to take brothers through, family through, is that when the pandemic first hit, everybody was worried. Everybody was scared. Everybody was fearful for their safety, fearful for their salvation. And all of a sudden, we had to go all types of plans, whatever. And they actually had this life that we had communicated with one another in years, actually communicating. But then when that first stimulus check hit, forget about it. Everybody went back to their setting up their plans for what they're going to do, setting up their plans for how they're going to live and how they're going to survive. And it was no longer about us coming together. It was no longer about us unifying. It was about, cool, I've got my stimulus money, and I'm going to live my way. I'm going to keep living my lifestyle. And for a minute, everybody was trying to get back to living their lifestyle, getting back to normal, things getting back to the status quo. And there have been adjustments. I mean, obviously, everybody has learned to put the mask on, you know, whenever they go out and do what they're doing. The fear of the germs, the fear of the catching of this COVID has been there. But the fear of continuing to gather together, the fear of continuing to unify and do God's righteousness, the fear of make sure you're doing right by the Most High, that is well slipped in minds of people. It's about, did I get my stimulus check? Did I get my money? Am I working? Because I've got plans. I've got things I want to get done. I got things I want to do. And it, as far as what God's plans are right now, that's in nobody's focus. Everybody is trying to get back to this American mentality of my comfort, what I'm putting together, my plans, my goals, my what have you, and having their minds on the prophecies of the Most High. It's not there. Everybody's more worried about their day-to-day, what they have going on, but the thought or the fear or the urgency, I mean, well, what do we got to do to please the Most High? What do we got to do to get right? What do we got to do to be saved? That's gone again, and it's going to be interesting to see as Biden sent out his last stimulus check, $1,400 per adult, and I don't know how much per child, that, and then people got their income tax money in. I don't know what people's mindsets are right now as far as, again, what their plans are and how they're going to live and prosper here in America and not be concentrated, not be focused on the prosperity of the Most High in the Most High's time, what the Most High is going on. So with things like this going on, I've really been trying to push about, are we really using God's wisdom or using the world's wisdom? Are we really about what the Most High has going on, or is it just about us getting back to our plans, our goals, our whatever, and not really including the Most High, not really including, okay, what does the Most High have going on? And as Israelites, so I give you Isaiah 45:11, and as Israelites, what should we be doing as Israelites? What should our next steps and plans, and what's the true wisdom we should be using? I've had Israelites tell me about, well, should we be investing in Bitcoin? I've had Israelites, now there's another type of money thing going on now. And NTFs, non-something funds. I was watching Trevor Noah, the Daily Show, yesterday, the day before, and he's talking about it, that now this is supposed to be the new money-making or the new investments to get into, to invest, and so you can have great stability, what have you, and not having to work. Is that, no. Well, so people don't have to work, I guess. But investing, whatever it might be, that people might do investments now, and they're going to be financially straight. Maybe not spiritually straight. Maybe not straight with the Most High, but financially, I'm good. My bills are paid. And my goals, my plans for how I want to live in America is established. And people, their mindsets are really going there. Again, if somebody can read loud and clear Isaiah 45:11. I don't care who's going to read it, just Isaiah 45:11.
Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me.
All right, so the Most High, as we seek out of the book of the Lord we're reading, he says, let me put this up. Give me 1 second. Again, from Isaiah 45:11, okay, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, as his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. That we should be inquiring and really getting into this book. What is God's work? What does he want done? What is his plans concerning his sons? And we know, again, his sons are the children of Israel. That's from Exodus 4:22. That he tells you very clearly his sons are the Israelites. Right? His son is the nation of Israel. So we should be trying to find out what God's plans are, what God's goals are for us as Israelites, as opposed to whatever our own will, our own goals, our own mindsets to determine what we think is right or wrong or what have you. We should begin with really be seeking to find out what God's plans are. We should be seeking and searching and studying to find out what the Most High is going on and what he wants to be done. And what preparations should we be making for him, as opposed to, again, our own personal goals and aspirations and what have you, that can have us totally wrong. They can have us totally miss the boat concerning what the Most High has going on, concerning how the Most High wants things done. And this is why I've been pushing again about studying. And that's something, if you go back to all my blog talk classes, that's pretty much, you know, that's going to get mentioned a lot throughout all my classes. Are you studying? Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you reading? Are you into the book? Are you into what the Most High is talking about? Or is it still just about you? Or is it still just about what you have going on? With that being said, that's kind of the genesis and origin again of this class that we're going into tonight. And I titled this class Traditions and Commandments. Traditions and Commandments. The controversy is up again, and this is give me that real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 11 in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 11.
Can
you ask these
what? Chapter
1, verse 11. Ashram, service 10. Right in front of Isaiah. Behind Psalms.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 10. Is there any thing wherefore it may be said, Eden is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us?
So as we get to the scriptures, the question that's being posed in the scripture is saying, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it has been already of old time, which was before us? That there's nothing new under the sun. That's the scripture, and there's a mentality that there really is nothing new under the sun. With that being said, we're once again being faced with the traditions of men versus the commandments and laws of God. We've got controversies, strivings about the law concerning what day the Sabbath is. We got strivings about the law about what day the new year is. We have strivings about and debates about can you cook it on the Sabbath or not. Strivings about the law about the Shield of David or the menorah. And this is just how it is. I mean, this is the type of controversies and divisions that we've had in Israel, going back to the days of Adam, hell, between Cain and Abel. This has been of old time. Israelites trying to find something to argue about, trying to prove they're more righteous, they're more holy, they're more on point with God than you are. It's really a lack of self-esteem. It's really a lack of a lack of self-esteem is the best thing I can say, in that you got to just find an issue or a point or something to try and prove you're more righteous and you're more holy and you're more connected to God than anybody else. Totally not following Christ. Totally not following the Most High at all. But you've got this real worldly mentality that you've got to put other people down because they're not doing what you're doing. And that somehow you are the authority and that you have to be followed. You have to be the HNIC, you got to be the head nigga in charge. And that if everybody doesn't unify with you the way you do things, they're off. Matter of fact, I didn't want to get the scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 And yeah, this class is for everybody on Blog Talk. Which is going to be a little, I got to say that, it's going to be a little different for some of the men that I have here in front of me now. We've been just pretty much focused on some of the issues and problems and things going on here in Albuquerque, as opposed to looking at the nation. looking at what's going on nationwide. It's just pretty much what's going on housewide or what's going on job-wise. But it's no thought about what's going on nationwide. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me pull it up. We're going to start with 10. I'm going to have to get my phone to one of y'all. Y'all can read it to the phone. Who's going to make scripture? They come up here. The echo's too bad. Read verse 10 to get it back to you.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord, Lord Yahweh Shai, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Right. You want to show off for that? And as we do read this, again, and we read this a lot, that it is what it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Yahweh Shai, that ye all speak the same thing. And it's true, we all are supposed to be speaking the same thing. But we're going to get into one of the controversies, or some of the controversies that even Paul was going through here in the first century B.C., in the first century, not B.C., A.D., after Christ, that even after Christ, immediately after Christ's resurrection and everything, there were still controversies among Israelites, knowing the Israelites, knowing about Yahweh's side, knowing about Christ. There was still division among them even at that time. And knowing that there's nothing new under the sun, that this type of mentality is going to continue. Now, a lot of people, we'll read the scripture, and it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Yahweh Shai, that ye all speak the same thing. And it stops right there. And what they get into, they talk about it is what an elder, what a person says, that's it. And if you're not saying the same thing I'm saying, you're off. If you're not saying the same thing I'm saying, you're not doing the exact same thing I'm doing, you're not in the Word, you're not in Christ, you're not in the truth, you ain't shit. It's basically the mentality that a lot of Israelites carry and have an outlook towards other Israelites. But this was the same type of mentality that was going on in the first century. That if you're not doing the exact same thing I'm doing, if you're not following the exact same thing I'm following, if you're not even dressed the exact same way I'm dressed, you're off. You're wrong. That I'm the authority and the only one who knows Christ, and you better follow me. I'm the only one that knows as me and my name is Kyle Bond was talking the other day. I'm the only one with common sense. No one else has common sense. Because you don't think like me, talk like me, judge like me, you don't have common sense. And what we see is everybody carries that mentality. You have to think like I think. And my way of thinking is the only way of thinking. And if you don't think the way I think, you're off. You're wrong. This is something wrong with you. Like Israel said, you're not in the truth. You're not in the Word. You're off. The Most High dealing with you. Yeah.
I was going to say, we had our last class, I think it's about something we were talking about. What are you supposed to do when you get that situation with one person? They do things the only way. Now that's when I was asking, like, well, what are we supposed to do that if they're just using parts and bits of the Bible to justify their own means? What are we supposed to do? I guess it's followers who are not used to the Bible.
And then you said, in the case of the Messiah, you know, how should I say, we're supposed to obey, follow up. In saying that, but what's about, if you didn't hear it, Kyle Bonner had asked, our last Sunday class, and asked a question about change, and following people, who do you follow? Or should you, if they're just trying to manipulate, if they're just trying to play you, if they're just trying to manipulate you, what are you supposed to do? And we read Matthew chapter 23, where Christ told you about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That Satan and Moses see. That all whatever they bid you to do, that observe and do. Meaning, if you're singing the scriptures, it's not about the person, it's about the scriptures. If we're singing from the scriptures, that's what we're hearing on in tonight's class. Are you following the scriptures? Are you following the Most High? Or are you following whatever else? So coming back now to 1 Corinthians 71 verse 10, again it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Yahweh Shai, that you all speak the same thing. Now it says that in the name of the Lord Yahweh Shai. It didn't say in the name of a man. It didn't say in the name of a person. say in the name of Yahweh Shai, the name of Jesus Christ, and you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. What's the thing that's supposed to unify us as Israelites? The scriptures. That everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. That's why Romans chapter 3, verse 4 tells us that all men are liars. Your opinion is a damn lie when it comes to God. Your opinion thinking that you're the only one that's right, and this is where you see a lot of debates come from within families. Why do families and siblings fight? Don't speak to each other for years. Because one person has this opinion, another person has this opinion, and because of that, we're going to agree to disagree. We ain't going to talk for decades. Yeah, Kyle.
I remember when you were younger, someone said that we had different camps just based on how you phrase it or what you call being our child.
So true.
When you said it, you started to say, or when we prayed over our food, you know, differently, so people, yeah, you started to camp over that.
And what Kyle's saying, in case anybody couldn't hear, is that we've had so many divisions in Israel as far as if the Hebrew was speaking really Hebrew. How do you call the Lord's name? Is it Yahweh Shai, Yeshua, Yahashua? And because you're not saying it or pronouncing it the way I say it or pronounce it or whatever, you're off. I'm going to start my own camp. I'm going to start my own thing. And I'm going to get with people who see things my way, that we share the same opinion. I'm not going to go to the scriptures and get God's mind and get Christ's mind. I'm going to find other people that I can gather with that see things the way I see things. We have similar interests. We see things the same way. So I'm going to gather together with them and with nobody else. And again, this issue and this problem has been going on for centuries. So it's not just right now. Because one of the things that's going on right now is this is back again, locks or dreadlocks. Are they lawful or not? It's not even really lawful. It's they're off. They're wrong. If you wear locks, you're going off. But this ain't. I don't want to just cover locks because that's going to make things too personal. That's going to make things, again, too personal. And like Christ says, now we're going to start. It says we strain in a gnat but swallow a camel. You know, we're going to make an issue about hairstyles when there's other weightier matters of the law that we should be focused on. There's other weightier matters of the Most High that we should be focused on, but now we're going to get caught up into a hairstyle, and that's not where I'm going to take it to. Most I said, I'm going to put that scripture on later on in the class. We're not going to go there. But I want us to recognize that Israelites and the spirit of Satan operate on trying to find anything possible to divide over. Anything possible to separate yourself from. Anything possible to say, those Israelites are off, those Israelites are wrong, and I don't have to be around them. Those Israelites are off, those Israelites are wrong, and I'm not supposed to be with them because they're not doing things the way I do things. And as we're going to look through some of the scriptures, this mentality, it blocks a lot of people from coming into the church to serve Christ. This mentality, it stops people from serving Christ. And now you have to come in and serve men. You have to serve a man. If you have to serve a man and his opinion, and how he puts things together, and how he sees it, you're off, you're wrong, you're wicked. And because people don't study, you have your house overthrown. Because you don't study the scriptures that these men's opinions will come in and ruin people's houses. It will cause division. And this is what I'm addressing tonight. Not just about lives, but about this whole mentality about. But let me get back to the scriptures. That's one thing I don't want to do is do a whole lot of damn talking, like a lot of people like to do. A lot of Israelites like to run their damn mouth and just talk, but don't like to come to scripture. So, again, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 verse 10 tells us, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Yahweh Shai, that ye all speak the same thing. I'm going to just ring it out because I got the mic right now. That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. When it comes to it says no divisions, ain't talking about we just follow whoever's opinion. We should be following God's opinion. As Israelites, we're supposed to be following the Most High's opinion. So that there's no divisions. Said we're all speaking the same thing. There's only one Bible. So if we all go by the scriptures, then guess what? We all just speak the same thing. But what happens is we don't stick to the scriptures. We don't stick to the law. We don't stick to God's word. We start to stick to a cult of personality. I like the way this teacher talks. I like the way this elder talks. I like the way this person talks. So I can get with them. But this person, I don't like the way they talk, how they come across, how this, that, whatever goes on. So I'm not with that. So that's off. That's wrong. No different than people in church, in the world, in church. A lot of people jump from church to church. I don't like that pastor. It ain't got nothing to do with the scripture that come on. It's I don't like that pastor. I don't like that church because they sing new school gospel and not old gospel. Or they sing old gospel and not new school gospel. And we have they don't have women prophetesses, women deaconesses or what have you. But this church does. And you find things in it, in church, that makes us religious. And this is what Israelites have done with with camps now. You follow a camp according to what you like to do, and because they're doing what you like to do, that's why you're with them. Or because you like that leader, you like that elder. From how he looks to how he talks. But it's not based on God's judgment. It's not based on them giving you God's word. It's about you vibe with this person. If they give you a certain feeling, and that's why you get with them. Or that's why you don't get with them. And that continues to cause division. And the Most High is not with this. And this is one thing Paul was addressing, again, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Whose judgment? Focus on the Most High's judgment, not your opinion. Not because this is how you feel, this is how you do things, so everybody's got to do things the way you do. Everybody's got to have their common sense has to become your common sense. That you got to do it my way, and that's what makes your common sense. If we're going to have any peace, if we're going to get along, if we're going to be cool, you got to do it my way. Not God's way, not Scripture way. You got to follow me and whatever cult I got going on, whatever cult of personality thing I got going on, that you got to find. If you don't do it my way and how I see it and how I feel about it, you're off. You're wicked. You're not Israelite. You're going to hell. And to hell with you. F you. You're just not right. You're off. But it's not based on God's judgment. It's based on that man's judgment, that man's opinion. And this is wrong in the eyes of the Father. And that's what I'm going to give you tonight. So I'm going to give the mic to give the phone back to Shar or Kappa, whoever wants to. And we're going to read verse 11.
Verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe?
Yes.
That there are contentions among you.
Somebody come closer. we can move it. We can move it.
Well, you pull like, if you put it from the table, will it reach the family? Like, I gave them all things when you're talking about
the aspirates. Yeah, but no, we have to speak directly into it.
Yeah.
If not, then plus there's too much of an echo. And it's bouncing out too much, so that's what it's making it hard for outsiders to hear. Yeah, it's a free guy's room. And it's a free guy's house that we live in. All right, so verse 11, it says, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren. So who is Paul speaking to here? These Israelites know the Israelites. This ain't talking about people who are in the world that go to church or what have you. Or this talks to Israelites that know the Israelites that know about Yahweh Shai. This is the Israelites that know they're in the truth, what we call the truth. He's talking to his brothers, not to outsiders. And what's he addressing? It has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, that there's strife, there's beef, there's issues amongst us. And this is within Israel. This is within Israelites who now have the knowledge that they're Israelites. That there's contentions. Can somebody look at the word contention with me? You want more about it? Y'all might as well sit right here.
Read your scripture. At the table.
Thank you. Webster, 1828.
Strife, struggle, a violent effort to obtain something or to resist a person, claim or injury. Contest, quarrel.
Okay.
Strife in words or debate.
So,
Chabot was reading from the Webster, 1828 dictionary. I'm asking you to read again and read it slower so everybody can kind of hear these things. And again, as we try to insert some of these definitions into the scripture, it says, "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there be contentions." And what's the first word for contention?
Strife.
That there's strife among the brothers. What else?
Struggle.
There's a struggle among brothers. There's a strife. There's a struggle. Go ahead.
A violent effort to attain something.
A violent effort to attain something. Hell, authority. That you got to follow my way, that I'm over you, that you better submit to me. And this is within Israelites. This ain't talking about people in the world. This ain't talking about, even though we could use it as the Crips and the Bloods, we could look at them. We could use it as East Coast versus West Coast or whatever beefs people got going on right now. I don't know who the... I'm going to step on when I have to. I got to put that other person down. In order for me to feel good about myself and whatever, I got the only way I can do that is put you down. If it's Tupac or Biggie going way the hell back, that it was about Tupac being able to put Biggie down, being sure he was a better rapper, that he was a better artist, that Death Row was a better company than Bad Boy, what have you. If it was Booker T. Washington versus Benjamin Banneker, I mean, we've had Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King. They've always keep strife and contention going.
They have the same goal.
Supposedly the same goal, but it's not the Most High's goal. It's not the Most High's plan. It's not how the Most High wants things done. So we keep these strikes, these struggles, these contentions. What else you got?
To resist a person, claim or injury.
To resist a person, claim or injury. That I'm doing this just to resist. That you're not the boss of me.
Well, I don't like what you're talking.
Well, you claim I don't like what you're saying to me. You know, give me something smoother.
Exactly. We've been at this problem. This has been a problem. That's why, remember, at Touch Politicians class yesterday, what are the two greatest commandments? Love God, love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these hang all the law. So no matter that, you make sure that you're one of your fringes. But you have no love for your brother, then you and your fingers stop. It don't matter if you're a man, you don't shave your beard. All right, cool, don't shave your beard. But you don't love your brother, you not shave it don't mean shit. It don't mean nothing. You making sure you don't cook on the Sabbath or whatever thing you're trying to hold on to make you more right than somebody else. But you hate your brother. You don't love your people. You don't esteem them. Whatever it is you think you're doing doesn't matter. Whatever it is you think you're holding doesn't matter. The greatest of all the commandments, love the Most High with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I'm not going to touch more on that because I'm going to save that for Tyler Powell in the class she's going over that they started yesterday. That you can reach on blogtalkradio.com and go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and a list of all our episodes will come up in chronological order, and you'll be able to see all our classes, including the one Tyler Powell is doing currently right now, about a friendship, right, if you will. But getting back to scripture again, it says that there's been contentions among Israelites. And there's more definition that I can read, but I think we have it covered right there. From the strife, the struggle, the resistance, the violent interaction with one another for authority, to reject somebody. This ain't Christ. This is not the Most High, but you know what? Don't let me speak it. Let's let a true elder speak it. That's what we're going to keep reading. All right? Verse 12. Who's got it?
Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul and of Apollos, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.
So So what was going on back then? I'm not with your camp. I'm with this camp. I'm following these elders. I'm following these brothers. I'm following these people. And this was the issue that was wrong. And this is what Paul was addressing. That it's no different than, for those who might be, and I'm using old school gang vernacular or gang vocabulary that you might be familiar with, you might not be familiar with, but one thing that was done back in the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, and 90s was, especially if you're in L.A., if you're in L.A., you might be riding the bus through the city, you're a young person, and you're confronted by somebody of another gang. And one question that might be asked is, what set you claiming? And the whole question with that was, what gang are you with? And then if you were like from Chicago, what have you, I know with the disciples and the bicycles or whatever, that you had to give your family tree, if you will. And you had to declare, there's an actual term they have for it, but since I'm not from the Midwest, I forget the actual terminology. But basically you had to run down who your leadership was. You had to run down who brought you into the gang culture and who you actually following in the gang culture. And if you messed up the lineage or didn't say it right, you can catch a violation. You can catch a beatdown because you're not of a recognized family. You're not of a recognized gang. You're not of a recognized leadership. That's in gang warfare. And we can see where that was considered kind of silly for those who hadn't grew up in that environment. That seems silly. What's selling? I mean, what are you talking about? From wearing the wrong clothes, wearing the wrong color. Whereas with the Crips and the Bloods, it might be if you're wearing blue or red. But I know in Chicago, it became if you wore your hat tilted to the right or your hat tilted to the left, if you had one pant leg up versus the other, if you got your handkerchief in your back right pocket or your left pocket. Oh, I mean, this is so much silly shit. This was the same thing Israelites were doing. In verse 12, again, it says, "Now this I say unto you, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ." And you can look on the internet and see this among Israelite camps even now. One Israelite camp saying that they are they're not affiliated with any of the Hebrew Israelite camps out here. Dummies. Another saying that if it's not of Commanding General Yohanan, it's not of the truth. Another saying that they're the home of the truth. Another saying that they have the God-sent comforter is their elder or leader or whoever it is they're following. There's so much divisions in Israel, and people think they're right. And then they shun or don't want to be around any other Israelites. And somehow, in their illiterate, unstudied, rebellious minds, they think they're right. They really think they're right. And this, again, this is what Paul was addressing. They're wrong. They are wrong. And for whatever justifications they kept using, that if you're not following me and following this and following my way of doing this, you're off. You're not, and it draw a line in the sand. That you better doing things my way. If you're not, you're off. You're wicked. Get away from us. That is not Christ-like. Christ didn't come down from heaven, being second in command of heaven, to come down here and set this type of bullshit madness up. Right? I want to be careful with my cussing because I know that'll be used for a person not listening to the scriptures and just trying to be caught up in me cussing and won't listen to. But it says in the last days, a bunch of silly people who you ain't trying to hear the most on anyway. But verse 13.
Is Yahushua divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
And this is Paul speaking. This is Paul who wrote this. Is Christ, Yahushua, divided? No. When we go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 2, 3, mind doing it right now. It says that the body of Christ, that there's many members to the body of Christ.
It's like in your own body.
For anybody who studies any type of physiology, what's that?
Anatomy.
That there's so many different parts of your body. There's different systems: the digestive system, the nervous system, the lymphatic system. But if one of them things goes down, your whole body's messed up.
Christ has many different members to his body. But here's my testimony: if you're not doing what I'm doing, you're not in the body of Christ. If you're not saying it the way I'm saying it, you're not in the body of Christ. But, like the scripture says, there's nothing new under the sun. These type of arguments and divisions and contentions have been going on. That's why we got kicked out of the land of Israel. That's why the curses came upon us. Because we've continued to carry this mentality. Yeah, I'm the only one who has the authority on righteousness. I'm the only one who has the authority on getting close to the Most High, which is silly. And now you got Israelites, I'm under General Yohanan, I'm under this acronym, I'm under that acronym, I'm under IUIC, I'm under ISBHBK, I'm under Kawakai, I'm under Masaba, I'm under Awar, I'm under whoever, I'm under Kazakia, and this is how we do things. That's not scripture-wise. That's not, the message scripture-wise, that's not righteous in the eyes of the Father. We're addressing this issue in the scriptures, but to have this thing of, well, this is how we do it, and if you're not doing what we're doing, then you're off. No, you're off. All right, verse 14.
I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius.
Right. So part of the question Paul was Satan, or one of his statements was, he said, was Paul crucified for you? Your camp leader, was he crucified for you? And that because you're camp leader, that's why you don't make it, because you're camp leader? And the messed up thing about that is, a lot of camp leaders carry that mentality. They think that it's their blood that's going to save you. They really think it's their sacrifice and them that's going to save the body. Not Christ, not the Most High. You have a lot of camp leaders that treat them with this authority, that they get this mentality of, everybody just wants to use me, everybody just, it's just about me, and now it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. And I don't know if I really want to do this, if I really want to help, if I really want to do whatever. As if they're Christ. As if they're the Most High. And then you got simple fools following them in that same mentality. Well, my camp leader said this. Well, this is what the scripture says. And you know when you catch that type of argument from? When you try to convince people that the blacks in America are the real Jews, and you show them the scripture, and they say, well, I got to check with my pastor first. Hold up. We just read it again. Jeremiah 14 and 2, to give an example. Judah mourners and the gates of language, they are blackened to the ground. The Jews are blackened to the ground, meaning we're different shades of brown. Can read that plain and clear. Job 30 and 30, my skin is black upon me. Plain and clear English. But I need to check my pastor first. I got to check my reverend first. This is the words of God. You're reading the Bible, the words of God. And I got to check with him first to see, or I got to pray on it. I got to pray on it and see if that's what the Spirit really is telling me, that this is what it's really about. Or I got to get this certain feeling in my gut. You're reading the words of God. What do you mean you need to go check with this person or that person about what you're reading?
Also, I was going to say, doesn't it also say in the Bible for followers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? So that was sad. To me, it sounds like jumping around the water. But to me, it sounds like, you know, even though you're following someone, they're not going to save you.
No, that person is not going to save you. Christ is the Savior. He is who God commissioned to save Israel. Not some man. Not some elder. But Christ. But again, what we're saying is, I'm trying not to be too passionate about this, because again, it's funny how anybody else can get passionate about the scriptures and they'll be listened to, but let me get passionate, and I'm too emotional. That's why I can't listen to the Messiah, because he gets too emotional. So I'm really trying to keep a lid on this so that if the scripture's coming out and people can't continue to use the excuse that they use not to hear the Bible. So let's go now to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. First John chapter 3 and verse 4.
First John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committed sin has transgressed also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Sin is the transgression of the law. If you go against God's law, you're sinning. It didn't say going against man's law. Going against God's law is sinning. You're going against God by not keeping his law, not keeping his word. And once again, this is why I keep emphasizing that in every class I teach. The theme of it is, are you studying? Are you really getting God's word in you? Are you still going by your own imagination, your own opinion? Are you going by your own, whatever environment you surround yourself in, is that what's in your mind? Or is God's word really in your mind? Is God's law, God's way of doing things, is that really your focus? Or is your focus influenced by the world, by a woman, by a man, by whoever? What have you been influenced by? What are you surrounding yourself with? As they say, food for thought. Then what food are you giving your thoughts? What are your thoughts feeding on? Worldly wisdom? Foolish wisdom? A bunch of cartoons? A bunch of Netflix? A bunch of Hulu? What's feeding your thoughts that you might be right with the Most High? That as you, to establish your morals and establish right from wrong, what are you feeding your thoughts? Are you really feeding your thoughts to Christians? Are you really feeding your thoughts God's ways? Or is it just whatever feeling you wake up with in the morning? Or is it whatever, again, some of y'all can have a dream and that runs your whole life, a dream, because you had a dream. And the Most High speaks about that. For those of the Israelites, one of the first things you might have heard, should have heard, was about the comparison of Martin Luther King and the prophet who had a dream. That you were more caught up to that prophet's dreams than you were God's word. And to this day, we still celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. It's the only holiday, federal holiday, that's given to minorities. Martin Luther King's birthday, about having dreams, about following your dreams, about how you feel, but not about God's word. So again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4.
1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is transgression of the law.
Now, I'm glad to hear my son struggle with some of these words. The reason I'm glad to hear that is because that's showing me how much of the Bible I don't have around him. Because if this is some damn mumble rapper that was mumbling something that could not be understood by nobody, that person could be understood. And his lyrics can be repeated to the T, to the syllable, and he's talking a bunch of nonsense. But because you hang around that madness so much, that can make sense. Those metaphors and whatever the hell they're mumbling make sense. But I let it be scriptures, and now there's a stumbling of the scriptures. Because you don't read it enough. You don't read it enough. So it don't make sense. So it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to get. It's just not there. But let it be a mumble rapper. And they call it mumble rap. And for the late DMX, he has a whole interview about how he can't stand mumble rap. He He really hates mumble rappers. He's really, not the rappers, mumble rap. Did I say nothing? It's a bunch of sound effects and the stupidest metaphors, if you can get it. But how much do you have to immerse yourself in that environment so those lyrics and those words make sense? But now let it be the Bible. Whosoever committed sin transgressed off of the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. I'm not around the scriptures enough, so now transgressors? It don't make sense to you because you're not around it. But again, let that mumble rapper say the nonsense he's saying. You can quote his lyrics verbatim, song after song after song after song. But let it be the scriptures. All of a sudden, your mind just can't begin. You just, I don't get it. What the hell are you giving your mind to? So the Most High is waking you up as an Israelite, so you know more mumble raps than you know his scriptures? And you're right with the Most High? You'll never know. You will never know. It's like when you don't study, you'll never know if a dream you had was right or not. All you know is what feeling you got. And that's all you left with. You don't know if what's in a dream or whatever, in a rap, in a music or whatever, if it's right or not, because you have no scriptures to combat that. If somebody's saying something, back in the 80s and 90s, there was a show on that was called In Living Color. And Damon Wayans had this character he did was a Muslim in jail. And this whole character's the thing that comedy about it was, just like for those of y'all who have seen Malcolm X, and some of y'all haven't seen Malcolm X. In Malcolm X, he goes to jail, and he just starts studying the dictionary. Just getting big-ass words, just learning words. And because he can use multi-syllable words, he thinks he's on some level. And then a lot of fools, because you don't study or literate, let somebody use big words and syllables, and all of a sudden they're smart, they're wise, and you follow them. They must know what they're doing because they study. I don't know what they study, but it sounds intelligent. It sounds like the white man. And because they sound like white people and they speak proper, whatever it is they're saying, it must be true. It must be right. It must be correct. But I don't study the Bible for myself, so I can pick up on what God is saying, so I can learn God's rhythm, God's metaphors, God's words. But somebody just does a lot of talking, and what they try to get into talking about. So I'm gonna go with that. But you ain't studied, so they can be feeding you literally some fly dookie on a chopstick, and you're like, yeah, this is good. Well, they said it was good. It's got good nutrients. I guess. Why the hell are you guessing? Yeah.
I was going to say, that's not even a spiritual thing. We pick our presidents based on how they look. You don't know anything about this person, so you pick them. Your doctor, the person that's going to work on your body and whatever, take your health, you'll pick it based on who you like the most. Don't know their background or their qualifications, but you know, I'll let this person stick something into my, cut my flesh open and stick something into my heart because I just like, he spoke to me calmly and stuff. Which if someone was I don't want to curse because it's all the things, but say someone was a jerk, or you just didn't like him. But his history, no patient's ever died under his watch. But you won't pick him because you just don't like how he is.
And this is our people. So coming back now to what we're going over. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Again, I'm not pointing this out to embarrass my son. That's not the reason I brought that out. I'm bringing it out for myself that how much am I not keeping his head in the scriptures that these words make sense? How much am I not taking him over the scriptures enough to where now he can look at it and read it and it makes sense? To where now it's stumbling over words. But and again, I'm noticing him only because he's 13 and 14, so he's into mumble rap. And he can listen to any of that nonsense, and it makes sense. But now the Bible is hard. Now the words of the Bible, there's a stumbling, and there's a stuttering, and there's a stumbling. But let's mumble out and say some of the most unintelligible, simple, dumbest, what have you. And that will make sense. So I'm looking at myself. Again, I'm not pointing this out to my son, like it's his fault. It's my fault. I don't have him around the scriptures enough. I'm not making the scriptures accessible enough so that he can read the Bible as if he was listening to, when I say mumble rappers, the only ones I can think of right now is Migos. They might be Suicide Dogs or Kings or Slum, what's his name? Slum Killer? Suicide Mark? Who was it? Yeah. They know who he's talking about. Getting back to 1 John chapter 3 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. If you go against God's word, you're a sinner. And if they're going against man's word, you're a transgressor. It's going against God's word. I'm going to call it the next two scriptures. Let's get Romans 3:20. So as I call them out, I want somebody please read each one of them. And Emma, if you don't read, you got to come up here. So we get to pass the phone as a mic.
You said 3:20?
Are you writing yourself? Good. Romans chapter 3:20. Romans chapter 4:15. And then Romans chapter 7:17-13. Again, I'm going to call them out, and I need y'all to get them, and then we'll go through these. Romans chapter 3:20. Romans chapter 4:15. And then Romans chapter 7:17-13. And then Romans chapter 4:15. And then Romans chapter 7:17-13. And we're going to go through these. And we're going to go through these because we want to focus on how sin is transgressing or breaking God's law. If you go against God's law, that will make you sin. Not man's law. And not man's opinion. Not man's word, but against God's law. All right, so who's got 3:20?
Okay. Romans chapter 3:20. Therefore, by the depth of the law, there shall be no flesh by justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Okay. And he got to the part I wanted to get to. In Romans chapter 3:20, read that last part again, son. The very last part you just read.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
By God's law, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So if somebody can't give you the law, then it's not a sin. If they can show you the law, then yes, it's a sin. But if they can't show you the law, it's not a sin. No matter how great of an oracle, how great of a speaker, how long-winded they can get. If they can't, we went over this on Sunday. I'm going to say the quote. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. That's what the Bible says. The word of God, the scripture says. Again, so by the law is the knowledge of sin. You can't know it's a sin unless you know the law. So how many people don't study? So you don't know God's law. So some man can come up and say something to you, hey, the shield of David is wrong. And because you don't study, guess what? What being your simple mind? Well, maybe it is wrong. Hey, we're supposed to light a fire on the Sabbath. Well, maybe we're not supposed to light a fire. So this is when one of the last winter vortexes hit, especially in San Antonio. How many of y'all? I'm a cuss. How many of y'all Israelites was like, you know what? Even when the electricity comes back on, why don't turn the heat on because that's lighting the fire? Or were you trying to keep your family warm? Hopefully your dumbass didn't die from, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call. Hopefully you didn't perish
And it's this identity crisis of, well, they said we're not supposed to light a fire on the Sabbath. So, no, we didn't set the heat on, we didn't set the electricity on because that's fire. Yeah, okay, you didn't perish from ammonia or hypothermia because you listen to what some man says, but you're not going by God's law. You're not going by the scriptures. So, that was Romans 3 and 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now let's get Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Who's got it?
Romans chapter 4, verse 15.
Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression.
The law works wrath. If you break the law, there's wrath. There's consequences. If you break God's law, there's wrath, there's consequences. But where there is no law, there is no consequences. If they can't show you God's law, then a man getting full of wrath, get mad all you want. You can get mad, you literally turn purple, blue, polka dot in your face. If you can't show me the scriptures, you can't show what God says about it or God's law, hush. But you can't say the Israelites because they really think they got some authority going on. They really think they're in charge. You're getting mad as a parent. I got my two youngest sons here with me. I brought my daughter, and they'll be 14 years old in a couple months. And it really has gotten to the point with them, just like with my older boys, Ivan, and even Itar, that just because I'm mad don't really mean too much. Ooh, dad's mad. Okay, what else is new? It's not like I can get my belt and spank them. And that's going to make them just stop what they're doing. It's so far beyond that, that just because you got mad, because you're mad, that's not enough. Just because you're mad. You're mad. The scripture says, let God be true, but every man a liar. You can be mad all you want to. That's not going to make me change. I'm not a kid. I'm not a toddler. To where, again, you'll get the buck. Or you're going to get this, you're going to get that, or do whatever. But a lot of people come to this truth, and they still keep that mentality. That because this man is mad and upset, ooh, he ain't showed me one law. He ain't showed me one scripture. But he's mad and he's upset. And because he's mad and upset, like he's some type of coach on a football team or whatever, professional team. I didn't mean to say football. He's just a coach on the team. And now, everybody on the case will be doing because how the coach feels. That because the coach has this feeling, the coach thinks this, feels this, that's the only reason why it should be done.
Even though most coaches are trying to keep a paycheck, you don't know if they're trying to actually train to make two NFL.
Right. Some coaches just might be just trying to keep their own money. The reason they're mad is because their money is about to get affected. Yeah. It got nothing to do with what's right. I'm going to bring it back to the scriptures. It's got nothing to do with what's right with the Most High. It's my money is about to get affected, so I'm pissed. Because my money is about to get pissed, it's about to get affected. I'm angry. And you better make your adjustments because I'm angry because my money's going to get messed with. It ain't got nothing to do with most of Christ being upset. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It's my money or what my goal or my vision, my dream, my plans. Is that going the way I wanted to go? So I'm mad. But the scripture says the law worketh wrath. If you break God's law, there's wrath. If you go against the Most High, there's wrath. He's upset. He's pissed. You know, the same one who said, to him belongs vengeance. The one who's the king of terrorists. The one who appoints and gives out a warrant for death. He's pissed. But what we see in Israel is, I'm not worried or thinking about God being pissed off or angry. I'm more looking at if a man is angry or if a man is pleased. And it's got nothing to do with the Most High. Because, again, the scripture says what? Where no law is, there is no transgression. If I'm not looking at God's law, I'm not doing nothing wrong. But because there's so much respect to person and not respect for God, because this man said it, that's all there is to it. He didn't show me one scripture.
He ain't proved all things like everybody else has to do. He's just going by his own opinion, his own self-righteousness, but not God's righteousness. And because people don't study, they run their lives based on how a man feels and not based on what the Most High says. As long as this man is happy with me, then everything must be okay. But if this man is mad with me, this must be fire and brimstone. But not one time is it, was the Most High really upset with this? Is the Most High really mad at this? Am I really going against the Most High? But it's, how does this man feel? If this man said it's cool, it's cool. No matter what it might be. If this person says what I want to hear, that's okay. But if it's not what I want to hear, that person's off. They're not qualified to be my teacher. They're not qualified to show me anything. But again, this is based on people, again, still not studying. I still won't go and get what the Most High said. I still will go and get his opinion or his way of looking at it. I'm going by how a man looks, a man's fierce confidence, a man's or happiness, but not by what the scripture says. We're no liars, there's no transgressions. Romans 7, verses 17-13. Who's got it? We're going to read each verse and give it back to you.
Romans chapter 7, verse 7.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? The Most High forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law.
Do that last bit again, John.
Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law.
That's pretty simple. You can't know sin unless you know what? The law. If you don't know the law, you don't know if somebody's telling you what you're doing is right or wrong. If you ain't studying, you won't know if what you're being told is right or wrong if you ain't studying. And then you'll have to remember, didn't Christ tell you about wolves and sheep's clothing?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of Israelites that look like Israelites, but really they're wolves, so they really they just in, into it for themselves.
Yeah.
Really they're just trying to, they are trying to just make merchandise of you. They are just trying to get over on you. And they're trying to use their authority, their intimidation, their wrath to influence you, but you got nothing to do with the Most High. So again, the verse you just read and told us what? I had not known sin, but what? By the law. Now how many people refuse to study? But again, if I'm going back to the mumble rap thing, but you know every lyric to how many different artists. Just sing it verbatim, word for word, because you know that song. Those songs, you know the rhythm, you know the beats, you know the pauses, you know everything about that song. Well, guess what the Most High calls the scriptures? He calls the whole Bible his song. But you don't know the Bible song, but you know every mumble rap lyric song. Even artists you don't like, you still know their music. You still know their lyrics. But you don't know the Bible. And then you get mad and upset, or let people rule you by their emotions. You let people get under your skin by their emotions. But you don't know the scriptures for anything. And not just mumble rap, because I know how some people get now. That, well, no, I don't listen to mumble rap, but I just listen to gospel music. That's just as bad. You know more gospel lyrics than you know scriptures.
One example would be the court law system. Not one person's ever picked up a law book out of us and knows what it says. When you're in that court, you don't know what they're talking about, so you need a lawyer to speak for you. But your life, whether you go to jail, whether your life, a $500 ticket, whatever it could be that you went to the court for, hangs in the balance. And I'm saying, like, compared to the Bible, our lives and our souls hang in the balance, yet not one person has studied the laws to be correct.
So, reading on, verse 8.
Who was reading?
I have not known what, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of
concupiscence.
For without the law, sin was dead.
And there's a whole another breakdown that you should go over with the scripture we're going over now. But the points I'm going to bring out for what we're going over now is I had not known lust except the law said what? Thou shalt not covet. You can't know if something's wrong or not unless there's a law. But because we go by people's opinions, not by what the Most High says, not by the scriptures, you don't know if you're right or wrong or not. Then it says, for without the law, sin is dead. So if a person can't give you the law, it's not a sin. If they can't give you God's law, it's not a sin. It's their opinion.
Something only wrong if there's a right way of doing it.
Oh, I'm sorry, say it again, Carl.
Oh, I was saying something can only be wrong if there's a right way of doing it.
You can only be wrong if there's a right way of doing it. And God's way is the right way. But we don't study. And because we don't study, we don't actually get into God's word like we do music, like we do health, like we do video games, like we do movie characters. We get into all these other things, but we're not, we'll refuse to get into God's word, which is for our safety, which is for our good. So now somebody comes, and we don't know, because all we know is they have a mad look, they have a countenance, they raise their voice to cuss a little bit, and they slam the table with their fist, or they mad, so it must be wrong. They doing so much cussing, but they got one scripture came out. And now for the theatrics, the show, the drama, we're more caught up into that than we are God's word. Then we are God's law. Then we are God's way of doing things. And that's why it says, my people, let us sheep to the slaughter. Sheep don't look at where they're going. They just follow the person in front of them. So it literally, when they say, so if your friend should jump a bridge, he would jump a bridge also. That's really what sheep would do. The way a sheep is built, they have their depth perception and eyesight is the most horrible damage of all creatures. Then they all have a great sense of hearing that they might be able to hear a predator or whatever far off. The way the legs are built, they're not really built for speed to jump over 6-foot fences or get away. They'll put the huddle together and follow the person in front of you. So literally, if the one sheep starts walking off and other sheep get behind it, and that one sheep walks off the bridge, all the rest of the sheep are going to walk to that same bridge. Just follow. I'm not looking. And again, I'm going to say, I have to say this. That's what Christ told you about a good shepherd. The good shepherd gives up his life for the flock. The good shepherd don't sit at home not doing diddly squat and just waiting for tithes and money to come in. A good shepherd, just like a friend. And again, I'm going to say this for Tough Spots class. We have elders and shepherds talking about, I didn't come to truth for friendship. I didn't come to truth for friends. Well, cool. That might be what you said. But then, you know what I know from what the scripture says? You're not the good shepherd there. You're not somebody that's good to follow. Because it says the good shepherd gives up his life for the flock. Then Christ also came back. Christ, the King, the Savior, also said what? No greater love than this, than a man give up his life for his friends. So what's that good shepherd going to do? He's going to give up his life for his friends, for his flocks. That's what a good shepherd's going to do. But if you came in and you said you didn't come in for friends, cool. You're still a brother. Christ took all the way in. I can't say that you're not an Israelite, but I can say you're not an Israelite to be followed. That according to what Christ said, you're not a good shepherd. That means you're not willing to give up your life and not save your life, not in a suicide. But your life, when you read all the different definitions of life, one of those definitions is to give up your manner or way of doing things. That's your life. Okay, this is how I do things. This is how I roll. This is how I get down. To give up how you roll, your manner, your way of doing things for somebody else, Christ said, you can't have a greater love than if you have that type of love. Christ said the good shepherd gives up his life for the flock. He gives up how he does things, how he looks at things, how he sees things, how he talks about things for the flock. That's what Christ said. So you might have a person's actions show it. You're not about, you didn't come in to make your friends. It's, you can tell the tree by the fruit it bears. Again, that's what Christ says. So you don't give up your manner and your lifestyle and how you do things for somebody else's benefit. It's all about you making sure you get yours. You and your family get theirs, but not about what Christ wants. To put you in the fifth, I thank God I'm literate. I thank God I can read this book, read his word. All right? Verse 9.
Verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. When the commandment came, sin was revived, and I died.
Again, I'm not going to the particulars of this verse, but it says that when sin came, what? I'm sorry. And when the commandment came, sin revived. Again, you can't know sin unless you know what?
The law.
The law and God's commandments. That's what I said now. You cannot know sin unless you know the law. So if you ain't studied, how the hell can you know if you're doing right or wrong?
Okay.
There's no way in hell you're going to. And that means somebody's coming to intimidate you, influence you for whatever reason, or run their mouth long enough so you just give in, but you got nothing to stand on. You got nothing to know if you're doing right or wrong. And that's why James told us what? A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Your whole life is unstable because you don't study. So let again, it doesn't have to be a man. It can be a woman. And we're going to get these scriptures to it. Let your woman get mad and upset. And for you just to please her, you'll go against God. Because the saying is what? Half your wife, half your life. So it is about what the Most High wants, or Most High says. That's why. What was Job's wife trying to get him to do? Well, if he ain't read the Bible, he ain't gonna know. And if you were to continue to run her mouth and nag the way women do, what would Job have done? Curse because, well, you know, the only way I could shut her mouth and make her happy is if I went ahead and cursed the Most High. Did this. Thank God Job knew God's word. Thank God. But how many people don't know God's word and let this woman run her mouth or her emotions long enough, loud enough, you're going to follow her and it's not about God because you won't study. You won't get her in the book to see God's word. It's just about how she feels. Well, she said this, so because she said it, you know, I don't really study, so I had nothing to say to her. It just, it made sense. Me personally as a man, I just said it wrong with it. I get it. You as a man, who God said that all men be liars, you didn't see the wrong with it, but what did God say about it? What did he say about it? Maybe you had nothing to say to her because you don't study. No different than you ain't got nothing to say to a man because you don't study. And again, let a man, women would just nag and complain to get what they want. Men will use big-ass words. Men will use white man talk, talk real proper, like they use in the dictionary. And that's enough, yeah. Ooh, yeah, they was dropping it. Oh, they were saying it. Didn't give one scripture. Ran him out for hours, kept me up, kept me awake, kept this going. Didn't give not one scripture, but just ran their damn mouth. And because I'm so tired of them, they're not gonna stop unless I submit to their how they run their fuck, how they run their mouth. So cool, just get to hear it. I agree. Yes, I was wrong. Yes, I'm off. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Will you please stop? So I need to please. Okay, whatever you say. I agree. All right, cool. All right, yes, because I'm with you. because I'm off. Yeah, okay. I got it.
Please stop. Please be quiet. Please. Please. Oh, we won't get into that.
The light of the Samson, but we're going to get into how the men of the city got inside her head to do that to Samson. We're going to cover that. Probably not tonight. That's going to be part of this class we get into. Because the scripture tells us about certain men creeping to your house and lead away with captains, silly women, laying with sand. You don't teach your wife the scriptures, so let some nigga come in and just run his mouth. And I said, see, it's you like, well, how you know you really doing right? Because he said this. This person had this look, and they looked this way, and he said this. And now they started nagging you and beyond you about what some man said, because you won't show your wife the scriptures. And, They got a point. So where are your points? Where's God's point? Where are the scriptures' points? You don't let some man creep in your house. Doesn't the scripture say, if a woman learn anything, let her ask her husband home? But you won't study to get her in the book, to teach you the book. So any nigga can come up looking the part, and I'll say he's in your wife's head more than you are. He says he didn't get the wife, get the possession. She's your possession. But and then the scripture says, wives, obey your husband as you would the Lord. But you tell your wife to tell me she's challenging you behind what some other nigga said. In the name of, and this is shit I love, it does say what about your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're right. So obey your husband as you would the Lord. For he is the Savior of the body. You're completely right. You're 100% right. 100. What are your own salvation with fear and trembling? And this is how you do it. The two should become one flesh. You're right. We're one flesh. And this is the way I'm going. As the head. This is what we're doing. This is the way it's going. Because we are one flesh, and I'm going this way. Oh, and by the way, there's not supposed to be a schism in the body. That's what the scripture says. So why are you divided against the way I'm going? Because you got some other man in your head. The same way Delilah has... I'm sorry, that wouldn't even Delilah do that. Well, Delilah did it because remember, he had a wife before Delilah. Did the exact same thing, and that's part of this class also. We don't get y'all tonight, I get y'all. But we'll keep going and getting as much as I can. What verse are you in, Kyle? Verse 9, right?
Verse 10. And the commandments, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
And the commandments are ordained to what?
Life.
Life. Following God's commandments leads you to God's life. This is the point I'm trying to pull out of this right now in this class we're going over. If you're not following God's commandments, you're not going to get God's life. If you break God's commandments, you're going to get God's wrath. It almost seems like this should be common sense, but it's not because people don't study. It is a cause and effect. But because people don't study, somebody's able to get inside their head to make them feel small, guilty, wrong, off, or what have you. But they can find one scripture. Can bring every scenario, every example, every whatever, but won't bring that one scripture. And got you double-minded in everything that you do. Because you won't just what? Study to show yourself approved unto who? Unto the Most High. So again, from the Shield of David, the menorah, locks, cooking on the Sabbath.
With the Bible being righteous, so whether you have a shame daily, then you're worried about what your creed, what your covenant is.
Paul, I'm not studying, so.
Those seem like big problems because someone was upset about it.
Exactly. I'm following, again, as we're going to get into it also, I'm following traditions of men and not the commandments of God. Let's finish Romans 7. Yeah, verse 11 now.
Verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by its healing.
Yeah.
Wherefore, the law is holy. The what? The law is holy.
The law is holy, go ahead.
And the commandment holy, and just, and good.
And God's commandments are what? Holy, just, and good. But you don't study, so how do you know? You don't seek out the book of the Lord and read. You don't study till yourself approved unto God. You let some man, some woman, inside your head, and there's a scripture. Give me Proverbs real quick, 14:15, I think it is.
Proverbs 14:15,
go ahead. Okay. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believe it, every word.
The simple, the silly, the stupid. When you look at the word simple, these are all synonyms. The stupid believe every word. This nigga came to you and got one scripture. This woman came to you and got one scripture, just her emotions. Her feelings about what her dad thinks is right. Her feelings about what she saw on TV. This dude coming to you about a dream he had, and this is how it makes him feel, what have you. They don't believe God's word, God's scriptures, God's law, and you believe it. And what does God call you? Simple. Stupid.
Okay. What if people just don't want to read or study themselves because once they know what's right, now they have to change. Instead, they can play ignorant. Oh, you know, I didn't know this was wrong. You know, I didn't study this. Read the book, they tell me this is probably wrong. But, you know, since I didn't read it, I wasn't really sure.
And what's I saying? People use the excuse of, I'm going to read it because now I've been a child before. I don't know if it's like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, there we
are. Oh, okay. As your life keeps, and this is some scripture I do want to get into. We don't see where that same mentality was held by people. And what God did. That when the opportunity was there for you to get it, you chose not to. We read the other day in 2nd chapter 9. That when the chance for you to get right was there, you chose not to. Okay. But you're not going to be able to say that you never were given an opportunity. That's why there's another scripture that says, I'm just going to quote it, because I'm going to continue with the class. It says, Christ is coming back until all Israel had a chance to hear the truth. Now, once they have a chance to hear, that's why it's so important that the teaching, the work of God being the teaching, is a, because it says, once the 144,000 of God killed, we didn't have out of here. That one's been destroyed, we go to the wilderness, we're out of here. But because that's not the priority. The priority is how I'm living in America. The priority is me continuing here in America, making whoever happy, but now making the Most High happy. It's been stopped. We got to wake up Israel so we get out of here. We got to wake up the 144,000 so we can go. It's been stopped about being that. It's about we're going to be here. We don't know how long we're going to be here, so we better make sure we're doing this because we're going to be here. We better make sure we're living like America because we're going to live here. What about God's plan and God's law? God's way? Wake up Israel so y'all get the fuck out of here. Wake them up. Get 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, so I can save all y'all. But everybody's mentality is, what do you got to do to save me and my house? And it's not even about saving. It's about my bills. How to make sure my bills are paid, or how I get this lifestyle, or I can live over here, or get this. But it's not about, we have to wake up the 144,000 so Christ can save us all. And about that. But I want to finish these scriptures up. Verse 13 now, last verse, verse 13.
Well, go back to Romans chapter 7 yet.
Romans chapter 7, verse 13. Was then what which is good made death unto me?
Read again, which
was then that which is good made death unto me? Most High forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful.
Sin can only be acknowledged by the commandment of God, not the commandments of men. So that sin might become exceeding sinful, that you might really despise it, hate it, reject it, is by you knowing God's commandments, not the commandments of men, but you knowing God's commandments of what is right or what is wrong, what is proper, what is not proper, what is excessive, what is not excessive, by you knowing God's law, God's word, God's way. But Israelites don't want it. We keep rejecting God's word. And that's the problem. That's the issue. And so that now anybody can come and say anything to you and have you shook, have you spooked. From there, let's get Deuteronomy chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And then Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32.
I got four.
All right, I'm going to call these out again. I'm going to call out several of these. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Let's get those, and we're going to get a lot more. But Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Wait, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's get 5 scriptures now. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. That's 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. That's 2. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. That's 3. Then Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Is 4. Then Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. That's 5. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, but to do them that ye may live and go in the posses, the land with that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers given you. Verse 2. This ye shall not add unto the world which I command,
unto the word
which I command you. Neither shall ye diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you.
Right, cool. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now therefore, hearken unto Israel, unto the statute. Let me get this. I got to reduce this a little bit. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, giveth you. Verse 2 is the point I'm going to get to. Ye shall not do what?
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you.
What's the law say? You don't add to the Most High's words. You don't add your little 2 cents, your little tidbit, your little 2 cents. It's not needed. But also now you got the authority or a little bit more understanding that you got to add to God's word. And this is what God is saying. Don't put words in his mouth. Don't come with your opinion as if not that's God's opinion. Don't come with how you do things and that's the way God does things. And everybody better do it your way. No, and then God is being very specific. Don't add to his commandments.
Don't add your opinion. Don't add your way of doing things. And why did God have to give this commandment?
Yeah, just people in
area. And everybody's going to add their 2 cents to what was being said, to what God said.
The word.
They got to have the last word. It's got to fit to what I got going on, so I got to have the last word. God said this, but I got to add to it. I got to have the last word. You're going to give God's love. All that backbiting, backtalking, and still, you got to have something to say? You're wrong. You're sinning. You're going to give God's love. You should not add unto the word which I command you. Neither shall you diminish aught from it. Don't take one period, one comma away from what God said do. Don't ask it. Don't take away from it. God will need your help. And you got to make sure, well, I think what God is trying to say is this. Well, I don't think God really meant it to say it that way, so don't worry about that part. Just get this part. Who the hell are you? That now you're the Most High counselor? You're his translator? You're his guide. I think what God was saying is this. Why would people say that? Because they're trying to fit their own agenda in what they got going on. He said, you should not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And again, to me, Israelites, you come into the knowledge of your Israelite, but it stops there. And now, whatever some man, some woman, your mom says, that's law. Not God's law. Not God's way of doing things. Let some fool get on YouTube talking to whatever dumb man that he's talking about. You'll follow that nigga to the T. You'll quote what this nigga says, but can't quote 5 scriptures. So if somebody tells you this scripture, it's like you ain't got time for it because you got other things to do. Because you got other things to do. If this was written, if this law was given in the book of Deuteronomy, you think the Most High didn't see this happening, that this is going to be a problem with Israel? That he had to make it a law? Don't add to what God says. Don't take away from what God says. Because what are the niggas going to be doing? Adding and taking away, not studying. Excuse me. Not studying God's word. We study every damn thing else. You make sure you know what's important to you or some whoever, but you don't have a clue about what's important to God. As an Israelite, don't you ever wonder why the hell we're in this condition we're in? Did that ever cross your mind? Or you know, there's a lot of Israelites, they don't believe they're cursed. They live in a ghetto. They got 26-inch rims on whatever car with a sound system in it. They're in heaven. They're not in hell. They got a woman who looks like Cardi B, who acts like Megan Thee Stallion. My world is set.
What curses?
And I lost my job, but with December 6th, I can still say the weed man. I'm still good. What curses?
You ain't need no studying. You have no clue what God's about.
And this is the Israelites. This is the Israelites. What message do we have?
Deuteronomy 12 and 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto. nor diminish from it. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hated, have they done unto their God. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their God. What things soever I command you, observe to do, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
To me, this is pretty simple. And there's notice right there. I guess we'll stop it here. I'm not getting late and everything. To me, this is pretty simple. The way that other people worship their gods, that's what he hates that. If somebody, some woman or somebody told you that you have to be open-minded and why not? Well, if this is what they do, I don't see nothing wrong with it, and they seem to be making it and prospering, and things seem to be okay. So, why are you upset that this is what I choose to do when I see other people do it? Well, then, what's the Bible say? What's the scripture say? Well, before we get to the scripture, can you see what I'm coming from first? I know the Bible is the word of God, and I know we get it, but let me just talk first. Can we just read it first? Because we bring God into it, because, you know, there's a time and place for everything, and sometimes there's not a place to really bring God into everything. I mean, damn. What the fuck are you talking about? That's how Israel got to come in the first damn place. Where did you get that cockamamie, simple, foolishness from? You know, even before we go there, show me that scripture that there's a time and place for God. Show me that scripture. Show me how that's right with God. Because the God of the Bible says we're supposed to be talking about his word, his ways, when we wake up in the morning, as we live our day, and before we go to sleep. We're supposed to be constantly talking about his way of doing things, talking about his word, talking about his faith. Constantly. That's what he says. But somewhere, somebody has got your simple head that there's a time and place for God's scriptures. Who raised you? Who the hell told you that? It's that very mentality that got us in trouble with the Most High in the first place. That there's a time and place for God. What the? But that's what the people of the other nations do to their gods. They allow to do stuff that God of Israel hates. Because you don't study, you don't see nothing wrong with it. You're just living your life. If I could ask Israelites, give me five things, whispers that God hates. I want to put this gun to your head, and you have an hour to come up with five scriptures about things God hates. There's a lot of dead Israelites. But these same Israelites will be quick to tell me about why, how they do things, what they do, and how they see things, why it's right. Why are you making such a big deal? What I don't see what's wrong with it. And I bet, I'm just saying this, for everybody who keeps coming around me with that madness, I don't see what's wrong with it. I'm just saying this, sure. Tell me how God feels about it. I know how you feel about it, obviously, because you want to do it. So you ain't got to explain to me why you want to keep doing it. Show me how God feels about it. Show me that as an Israelite, that's what God wants from Israelites. Show me for the time that we're in captivity right now, that what you're doing is what God wants done for Israelites.
or are you doing the thing that God hates?
Again, verse 22 says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereunto, nor diminish from what God says.
So we've gone over 2 hours. I'm hit the 2 hour mark. It's 9 o'clock here in Albuquerque, and 10 in San Antonio, and 11 on the East Coast for the Brothers of the Bar. That's the thing I'll listen to what have you.
Or from the Brothers from Rochester or the East Coast, what have you. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna end this class with that. Let me highlight this. The last verse we just read was what?
Deuteronomy 12:32.
Okay, I'm going to highlight this so I know where we left off at. So when I come back to this class, I know where we left off at. We're going to pick up on it. Again, I'm not just making this about locks or whatever. I'm talking about everything. Everything that Israel uses to divide, you're wrong. Especially when it's just about the opinion of man, but it's not what the Most High says. It's not what's important to the Most High. I gotta read that. Let me get it. We'll start with 31. And I ain't gonna bring it. Who's going to read?
Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
God has a kingdom prepared for Christ has a kingdom prepared for the ones he loves, the ones that love him, that's been prepared for the foundation of the world. There's the same kingdom that Abraham was looking for, that Isaac was looking for, that Jacob was looking for, that they never received. There's a kingdom prepared for the righteous, God's righteous. It's already prepared. You shouldn't be thinking about how you're going to live your next 5, 10 days, months, or years. And God already has, the kingdom's already set for the ones he loves, the ones on his right hand. He said, come ye blessed of my Father. And here's the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's already done. He says you can't see it. Don't mean it's not there. Read on, verse 35.
Verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink?
In verse 37, Christ calls these people righteous. Did he say because they had the menorah and not the shield of David? Is that what made them righteous? They were righteous because they had fringes on their clothes and bald heads. They were righteous because they didn't cook on the Sabbath. What was the standard Christ set for them being righteous?
It sounds like a charity.
Mm-hmm.
Their charity, exactly.
I was hungry, you gave me meat.
Mm-hmm.
I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I did for others, but I did for myself.
Mm-hmm. I was naked, and you called me. Not this, well, that's your problem. Well, it's
because you don't work hard enough or you don't do this. That's why you got shit. But I got mine, so you need to go ahead and get yours. So the only thing I worry about is making sure my shit is good. And what I got going on is okay. And that's why I'm right. I'm not right with the Most High. But in my own world, my own little mind, my own little way of doing things, I'm straight. I'm good. I'm right by me. I ain't right by the Most High, but I'm right by me. I don't do or help nobody else. I just make sure my shit's straight. Okay. These are the things that Christ said made these people righteous. And then do with the shit of David, the lips of the half. Fingers. He says, then a righteous answer in the same. I'm going to read verse 37, I'll give you verse 38. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee as hungry, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Well, Yahweh Shai, when did I see you, Yahweh Shai, hungry? Because you Yahweh Shai, I would have fed you, but these other men, I ain't feed nobody else, but if it was you, and you would have asked me, that's the other thing that's okay. If you would have asked me, but since you didn't ask, I'm just going to do me. But Yahweh Shai, when did I see you? Because obviously, Yahweh Shai, there's no time you would ever be hungry. You Yahweh Shai. And of course, I'm going to help you, Yahweh Shai, because I see you. Or when were you ever thirsty? And gave me drink. Yahweh Shai, when do you see verse 38?
Verse 38. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick? Or in prison, and came unto thee. And the king shall answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the king shall answer.
No, the elder.
And Yahweh Shai shall answer.
The dude who just gets mad and runs his mouth.
And the king shall answer.
The queen, because she sees no queen.
And the king shall answer.
For an old reference. And the king, you know, the one who's the king of kings and lord of lords, the king shall answer and say what?
And say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Amen.
Then shall he also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed,
into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
He's talking to Israelites here. Get the hell away from me. You curse into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil. And you need to get. You act like the white man, but you need to be treated like the white man. You don't look out for nobody but yourself, so you need to suffer the same fate as them. Now, is he about to say about having sex with animals?
Mm-hmm.
Is he about to say that they're homosexual?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be the requirement for you to be classified that you act like an Edomite?
I was a stranger.
Oh, sorry. For I was a hungered, and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me no drink. 43. I was a stranger, and he took me not in. Naked, and he clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and he visited me not. 44. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, that as much as he did it not to the one of the least of these, he did it not to me.
If he didn't do it to the least, you know, the ones you think didn't figure on your level, the ones you looked at beneath you, not worthy of your time, not worthy of your consideration, not worthy of you, whatever, because you had your own program, you had your own thing going on. I mean, you did it to nobody else, you damn sure can do it to Christ. Remember, for those who are in class here with me here in Albuquerque right now, we was going over how you're supposed to rehearse the righteous acts. So as much as you keep rehearsing, just being about you and your schedule and your way of doing things.
where two or three are gathered. It's just about what you got going on, but it's not about what no one else has going on. When Christ gets here in physical person, you can do the exact same thing. Because in your mind, what you're doing is not wrong. Because it's okay with you. But you ain't studying to see it's okay with Christ in the Most High. It's about how you feel, what you think, what you got going on. And are you doing the thing that God hates? Because you don't know if you don't study.
But as we were talking about earlier, you know, with that God. But let's remember that tomorrow. I bet you know all them goddamn lyrics, huh?
Let a silly gospel love song come on the air. You know every lyric and every instrumental lick. You can discern what instruments being played in the damn song.
Yeah, your eyes are on the sparrow, huh? Your eyes are not in his word, but your eyes are on the sparrow, huh?
It says it like Matthew 6, something like that, about having a lack of faith, because the Most High feeds the sparrows, he feeds the birds.
Mm-hmm.
He does say that. But with that, I'm going to do something tonight. This is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
This is Wednesday. I'm not sure exactly when I'll be able to get back to this class. But I do definitely want to get back to this class. What's it say right here?
One. We have not got past one.
Page one of nine.
Oh my God.
That's just too much. I think you take it shit too far. I know I first said it to my dad told me. This is the kind of one of us. You know, too much of anything is bad.
Hold on, Nick. Too much of the Bible? So why do you make me go to church every Sunday?
True.
It's starting to make sense for some people. Again, and I'm going to be seeing this. I just don't know when I'm going to get to it. If you're not studying and getting into God's word and letting people become a part of you, I'm not just talking about you hear a few scriptures or see some things and you're trying to imitate it, but you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You have no clue just because you don't want to hear somebody's mouth. So because you don't want to hear somebody's mouth, that's why you do what you're doing. But you can't give yourself a scripture, this is why you do what you do. You're in trouble. Current. If you're not using scriptures to make to continue to do the right thing in the eyes of the Most High, you're not gonna make it. I already called last scripture. But remember, Romans 10 tells you, we got to go there. Romans 10 and 1. So I need a fast reader.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 10 and 1 through 3.
Romans chapter 10, verse 1.
Fast. I want
you
to do it.
You got it. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to the Most High for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear the record that they have a zeal of the Most High, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of the Most High's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of the Most High.
But there's a zeal. It's a zeal for the Most High, but it's not based on knowledge. You don't know why you do what you do. You don't know why this is proper, why this is not proper. But you establish your own right, and he's talking to Israelites that know the Israelites. You don't know why we do what we do. Besides, you don't want to hear somebody's voice. You didn't want them to get started. Or you just rebel for the sake of rebelling. But you have no clue. You really put no certainty here about why is this done this way? Why do we do things this way? Why what seems like has been the problem? Well, it seems like common sense to you, why everybody don't do it that way? You ain't studying. And the people around you ain't studying so that we have the same judgment. That is not scripture. All right, that is our scripture. With that, I'm going to say shalom. Please continue to tune in to the rest of ISBHBK. ISBHBK YouTube, I'm going to say it like that, where you catch the Norfolk class, the Houston class, San Antonio, what have you, that you can just check us out. All right? Get God's word. May God's word. So with that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.